Well, we are in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 is where this section begins, Ephesians 6, verse 10. We've been working our way through this section of Scripture. Remember, this is dealing with and instructing us concerning spiritual warfare, this battle that we're in against the forces of wickedness, the real battle that is raging all around us in this world. And this is the reality of the Christian life. From now until the coming of Christ, we're going to be engaged in this battle. And biblically, this battle is going to ramp up all the more. If you read the Scripture as we head towards the coming of Christ, this spiritual warfare will grow worse. Darkness will grow worse. There'll be a falling away among the church. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And so, church, we better get armored up. We better get empowered by God. We better get our hearts right because we need to be engaged in this warfare. We need to be ready and warring in this battle. We are soldiers of Christ. And we are in a very real battle against the devil and the forces of wickedness. As we've said, it is a spiritual battle, spiritual in its nature. That's absolutely biblical truth. But this spiritual battle manifests itself in the human realm. It's not just tucked away where you never see it. No, it comes through flesh and blood. It comes through men. And we know this. We look out at our very nation. We who have been around for some time look out at our nation just 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and then we look at our nation today. We look at the morality in the nation 25 years ago, and we look at the morality today, and we know that darkness has taken hold. We know that the laws and the things being passed and what's being fought for in this nation is doctrines of demons and ideologies of wickedness. And that's coming out through flesh and blood. But behind it all is the forces of wickedness, absolute evil. That's where it's rooted. And we need to be aware of this. We're not to be deceived about what's going on. We're not to be deluded or led astray. But we are to stand. And we're to stand having done all to stand. Maximum effort, putting everything into this battle. I pray that God would open our eyes to see what's truly going on. And I pray that we would understand that now is the crucial hour. Look at your life. Look back at all the years you've lived. If there was ever an hour, ever a day, ever a time to stand, it is this hour. It is right now, isn't it? And what a day to stand. What a day to be shining the light of Christ. What a day to be holding up this word, the word of truth and the gospel, and holding high the banner of Jesus Christ. What a day to be the church. What a day to stand, having done all to stand. And so we need to be faithful in this hour that God has placed us in. The question comes, how do we do that? How do we stand? How do we engage in this battle? That's what this section of Ephesians is all about. Here we see the essential keys to victory. The means to victory in this battle. Let's look at it again. Let's pick up in Ephesians 6, verse 10, just to remind ourselves, and we're going to read through verse 20. And notice it with me. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, again, as we open Your Word, we seek You. Lord, we know our own strength, what we can muster up in our flesh and in ourselves will fail us every time. And so we set our eyes upon You and our hope on You, Lord, our faith in You. God, that Your Spirit would lead us today, that this truth, Your Word would come off the page and it would drive down into our heart, Lord. Your Spirit would move and work and give us the grace to see and understand, to hear, to be moved by the truth, to take it to heart, to obey the Word, to live the truth, to take this truth into our heart and live it, God, in our life. That You would build up Your church, God. Make us like Your Son. Make us faithful, God, in this day and age in which we live. More useful to You. Draw us near to You, God. You see us and You know where we are and You know our great need. Father, draw us near even in this time of the Word and open our eyes, open our ears, move our hearts, God. Lead us to the feet of Christ. I pray for those who are lost. God, You would open their eyes to see and their ears to hear. You would move upon their heart and reveal Your Son and reveal their need and bring them to true saving faith, to turn from their sin and flee the wrath to come and run to Jesus and to put their faith in Him as Savior and Lord. God, save those who need to be saved and build up this church for Your name and Your glory. Teach us from Your Word. Let it find fertile soil. Let it find root in us, God, and let it make us a faithful church, a church ready for Your coming, a church shining bright, the light of Jesus Christ. Help us today, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the key to victory in this battle is in the Lord and His power, and in the Lord and His armor. We have looked at the power for this battle. We are commanded here to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That is where the power is. There is no power in and of ourselves. We can't just kind of wing the Christian life. We can't kind of just live it half-heartedly. We have to be a people who know that what we need only God can bring down. And that has to drive us away from ourselves, away from our strength and our own might, and drive us to the feet of Jesus Christ, where we abandon everything there and we give ourselves unto Him and we call down power from God to enable us in this battle. We have no strength in us to live as God has called us to live, to wage this warfare. The power is in God and Him alone. And He enables us as we abandon all else and draw near to Him and surrender to Him and are given up to Him. That is where the power is, and that's where it flows. And then secondly, we are commanded to put on the whole armor of God. These words, put on or take up, speak of active obedience. And so this doesn't just happen. It's not just, well, we're saved, and just because we're saved, this will just happen automatically. No, we're commanded to put on this armor. We're commanded to take it up. And so this requires decisive action on our part. We are to be daily in prayer and daily abandoning ourselves to God and daily calling on God for power and daily reminding ourselves in our mind of this armor and putting it on and getting our mind fixed or our mind set on how we are to live and how we're to be warring in this armor. We spent 4 messages looking at the armor of God, the belt of truth, in the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that shield of faith, that helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And if we're going to stand having done all to stand, then we must do it in God's power and in God's armor. This morning we come to the final message in this series. It is the final exhortation as we think about this spiritual warfare in the armor of God. And what we find here is to undergird everything else. And that is prayer. the command to unceasing prayer. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As we take up the armor of God, as we stand in His power, having done all to stand, we are to immerse ourselves, everyone and every single thing, immersed in prayer. In prayer. Don't think for a moment that because you're in Christ, because you know biblical truth, because you know all the pieces of armor, that you are going to be able to stand in this battle. You must be empowered by God. You must be immersed in fervent prayer. All of this is nothing without God. John 15:5, Jesus made it very clear, "For without me, you can do nothing." And yet how easy it is to grow lax in the Christian life. How easy it is for us to just kind of drift from fervent prayer. You know, we'll get there from time to time and we're in the Word and we're in prayer, and then before long we start drifting. And we start drifting. We're not really praying like we ought, and we're not really in the Word as we ought. We begin to become spiritually derelict in those spiritual necessities, and we think that because we're saved and we go to church and we believe the right things, well, you know, all is good. We're okay. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." You can know your need for God, and you can know these pieces of armor, but if you live your life and you try to engage in this battle without prayer, then you are destined to fail. You are destined to fail, even in your daily life, living it for Christ, destined to fail. The power to stand in this warfare, the power to be clothed with this armor, flows through fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. We must be a people of effectual, fervent prayer. And I cannot overstress enough the necessity of prayer. And yet it seems to be the one thing that we struggle with the most, prayer. I mean, taking the time to really pray. And then, you know, it's just the battle that we're in. We struggle with so many things. We've got to go to work. Busy with work, and rightly so. We have to provide for our families. Work is a godly thing. God provided work, provided it as a means for us to live and have sustenance. But work is a mission field. Are we seeing it that way? Busy at work, and then we come home, and boy, we've got our families, and we've got to do this, and then we got to do that, and we've got all this in our agenda. So busy with this and that. And oftentimes we don't pray as we ought. We don't seek God as we ought. But the reality is, we are so busy, we must take the time to pray. We've got so many things going on, and the needs all around us are so great, we must pray. That's how we ought to see prayer. I've got so much going on, so much at work, so much at home, so much in my marriage, so much with my children, so much going on that I've got to get done. I must take the time to get away with God and pray. Must do it. Must. Prayer is closely related with the armor, but it's not a piece of armor. It is much more than that. Because the whole time we're fighting and girded with the belt of truth. The whole time we're wearing the belt of, or the breastplate of righteousness. The whole time that we're holding up the shield of faith and our feet are shod and we got that sword of the Word in our hand and our head is clothed with that helmet. The whole time that we're warring in this battle, we must be engaged in fervent, unceasing prayer. Prayer. This battle, even of daily life to live for Christ, but this battle against the forces of wickedness, all of it is beyond us. It's beyond our own ability, beyond our own wisdom, beyond what we can do. This demands unceasing commitment, an unrelenting fortitude to prayer. unceasing commitment, unrelenting fortitude to prayer. We must lay hold of God. We must lay hold of God. Have you ever even done that? Have you ever just cleared everything away, drawn near to God, and just prayed and kind of maybe even felt after you got done praying like you just weren't getting a hold of God? Just kind of hitting a brick wall, knocking and nobody's answering, and then you just begin to break and, oh God, I don't want to get up unless you come down. God, I don't want to live without you. And you just tarry there in prayer. And you just fix yourself there and you're kind of like Jacob wrestling with God. And you're like, oh God, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. God, I can't live without you. My kids need you. I need you. My church needs you. And you tarry there and God comes down. I'm telling you, church, God will come down. You'll be there in prayer pleading with God and God will show up in that room. You'll be broken in your sin. The holiness of God will take hold of you and you will begin to pray as you ought. That's what we're talking about here. If you have never done that, try it. Set yourself to take hold of God and don't get up until He comes down. God will test you. He'll test me. He'll test us to see what's in our heart. How bad do you want God? How bad do you want God to come down in your life? How bad do you want Him to save your children? How bad do you want Him to save your marriage? How bad do you want Him to enable you to live for Him? You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with half your heart. Is that what God said? What did He say, church? All your heart. The truth is, we have as much of God as we want. You say, I want more of God? Well, you've got as much as you want. I'm telling you. I'm telling you the truth. You want more of God? Set yourself to take hold of Him. Set yourself to lay hold of God and see what God does. See how God begins to move and work and meet you in that time of prayer. As you draw near to Him, God will draw near to you. He will. So often we're just so, you know, literally deceived by the evil one that we can just throw out a little prayer here or throw out a little prayer there and just wing it. When God's just waiting for us to stop and lay hold of Him. Lay hold of Him. If we're going to stand in this battle, you're going to live as God has called you to live for Christ. Your mind's going to be fixed on the eternal. You're going to be out sharing the gospel and seeing souls saved, sharing it boldly as we ought. Prayer. Prayer. Now, look, this seems so basic, don't it? It's like, well, we know this, preacher. No, we don't. We know it in our mind, but we don't know it by experience. Not most. Not many. That's even through the words of Jesus, as we will see, Lord willing, as we go on. We must pray. We must pray. Without prayer, we're like a soldier without any strength. We're like a soldier there in the heat of the battle. He's arrayed in his armor. He's ready to fight, except he don't have an ounce of energy to take one step. He don't have the wisdom, the intellect to be able to outmaneuver his enemy. He don't have anything if he's not enabled and strengthened. And that's how we are without prayer. The power of God flows through prayers. Fervent, faithful prayers of His people. No prayer, no power. And so there comes this command to pray. To pray. It is of utmost importance. It's mentioned last, but it is certainly not least. It is to permeate and undergird everything in our life and everything as we war in this warfare. And in verse 18, we learn the when, the how, and the whom of prayer. First of all, we see when to pray. When should we pray? Those first two words of verse 18 says, praying. Go ahead, church, speak. Always. Praying always. Always. Where to do all of this? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Going back, being filled with the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 18. Speaking to one another in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Wives submitting to their husbands, husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church, parents obeying our children, obeying their parents in the Lord. All of this, workers submitting to their bosses, all this flowing out of this passage of Scripture leading up to this battle that we're in, spiritual battle. And where's the power to do any of this? Prayer. Praying always. Always. Now, beloved, that is a command. We're to put on the whole armor of God. We're to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're to be praying always. That is the command. Undergird everything with continual, fervent prayer. Praying always. Now, what does it mean? Does this mean we're just literally, we're to stop everything else and abandon everything else, and we're just to go hide in a closet somewhere, and all day long, every hour of the day, we're just to be praying? No. No, though there are times when that is exactly what you ought to do. There are times when the battle is so great and the need is so dire, and you see that you ought to just draw away to God and set yourself to seeking Him, unrelenting prayer, and take hold of God in that prayer room. There are times when that ought to be there in our life, and it ought to be there often. But here, praying always is talking about being in a continual attitude of prayer, a continual mindset of prayer, a continual state of God consciousness, where we are continually praying to God in our mind throughout the whole day. It's to be living in a state of God consciousness where we are focused upon God. We're continually focused upon our Lord. We set ourselves to praying in the morning, set ourselves to the Word, and when we get up from that prayer, we're continually thinking about God, and we're thinking about what we have to do, and our mind is continually going, right? And as our mind is continually going, we are communing with God, talking to God in our mind, in every circumstance, in everything going on in our life, we're just lifting it up to God. We're taking that to God in our mind and in our thoughts. That's how we're to be living. It's keeping our mind fixed on God and then continually surrendering everything to God and taking everything to God in prayer in our mind. John 15, verses 4 and 5, I mentioned part of it earlier, but verses 4 and 5 of John 15, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." That word abide means to remain, to dwell, to be fixed there. How do you do that? Through prayer and the Word. Through prayer and the Word. You give yourself to God in the Word, seeking to hear from Him. You give yourself to God in prayer, and then you stay in that attitude and mindset of prayer all throughout the day, communing with God and taking everything to God in prayer. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." What a promise from God. God is calling out to those who are His to prayer. Call to me. Call to me. Cry out to me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know anything of. Take God up on that promise. Call to Him in prayer. Call down power from heaven. Ask God in faith, believing, and see what God will do. And this is the command of God to each of us, praying always, to be in this constant state of fellowship and communion, this attitude of continual prayer. Listen, do you think that will help us? If that morning we've already been in the Word and we've already been with God in prayer, pleading with God for divine enablement, and then we've gotten up from that prayer and we went to eat breakfast and we're thanking God and everything that we're thinking about, we're just running that through God, and then that morning here comes temptation. Here comes some sin. Here comes something, and we know we're in the heat of the battle, but we're already in conversation with God Almighty and have been. Do you think that's going to enable us when that temptation comes down in our life? Do you think it will? Rather than we're out there in left field, God's not really been a thought in our mind, we're already in the flesh, and then here comes the temptation? How about when we're, living life and all of a sudden we see that individual that we know is lost, that family member, that friend, that coworker, we've already been praying for them, and then we see them, we're already in prayer to God, and we begin praying. You think it's going to help us engage them with the truth? You better believe it is. You want to live for Jesus? You want to walk step in step with Christ? This is how you do it. The moment you let this go, you're in your flesh. You're in your own strength and your own power. We must be in prayer continually, praying always. Prayer is to be the air that we breathe. It is to be happening in us continually, constantly. Just like air, we breathe in and we breathe out. And we do that without a second thought. It is in our nature, isn't it? I mean, we just breathe. We don't have to be told. We don't even have to think about it. We're going to be breathing in and out. And how critical it is. Do it without a second thought, but absolutely critical to sustain our life, isn't it? And so it is with prayer. We're to be breathing in the breath of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, surrendering to Him and breathing out prayer, continually breathing out prayer to God, talking to God, communing with God. Everything that runs through our mind ought to be going through the filter of God Himself and just, God, help me with this. God, I'm heading to work. God, help me at work. I might see so-and-so at work. I've been praying for him, Lord. I pray you'd help me to be a witness. Help me to speak truth into their life. I'm heading home. God, I got all this on my plate, and I want to be busy with the right things. God, help me to do what I ought to do that you want me to be busy with. Give me divine enablement. God, I need you. Help me with my wife. Help me with my children. Whatever it is, everything in our mind continually being lifted up to God in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Listen to that. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What are we to pray for? Everything. In everything. I've lost something. Just, doesn't matter how small it might seem, in everything. Doesn't matter how big it may seem, in everything, take it to God in prayer. And the promise of God is the peace of God will flood your heart, your soul, your mind. He will keep you. Romans 12, verse 2, continuing steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. And so, we're to be a people of prayer. Yes, there should be, ought to be daily in our lives, times where we just stop everything and we pray. And we seek God in the Word and in prayer. And there will be times in our life when the need is so great, we're just driven there. But throughout the whole day, when we get up from that prayer, our mind is to be fixed upon God. And everything is to be a prayer offered up to God. We're to be communing with God in conversation constantly. That is never to stop. Never to stop. There's a second thing we see here, not only when to pray, but then we're told how to pray. There's four things in verse 18 about how to pray. First of all, he says, with all prayer and supplication. This word all types of prayers, all prayer. There's all kinds of prayers. There are private prayers when we're alone. We're in that closet, we're in the bedroom, wherever we are, driving down the road, and we're just alone with God. There's times when we're going to be praying together. There are times when prayers are silent. To be honest with you, most of the time, if I'm alone, my prayers are out loud. I only pray silent if I know someone is entered in or someone comes around. Then I might pray silent. But when I'm tucked away with God, I just talk out loud. I just cry out to Him. Sometimes it's in smaller whispers where it's not going through the whole rest of the house. There's all kinds of prayers. Sometimes there's prayers of joy and happiness and thanksgiving, and sometimes there's prayers of weeping and moaning and pleading and crying unto God. Sometimes it's spontaneous prayers where you just break out in prayer to God and thanking God, and sometimes it's deliberate and it is diligent. And you scrape off some time and you set yourself, I'm going to go to God in prayer at this time. All kinds of prayers. All kinds of ways to pray. Pray standing. Pray when you're sitting. Pray before your meal. Pray when you're driving down the road. And pray tucked away in your bedroom or in the closet. You pray together as a congregation at the altar on your face. You can pray in a circle holding hands. All kinds of ways to pray. All kinds of types of prayers. We are to pray. Notice, with all prayer and supplication. The word prayer specifically means request. Praying, all kinds of prayers, all different kinds of ways to pray, offering up request. And it speaks of general request. It includes every type of prayer that could possibly be prayed. Praying for anything, praying for anyone. As I said, there's nothing too big, there's nothing too small. Just prayer in general. But then there's this word supplication, which then speaks of specific request. Supplication, asking God for specific things, praying for specific people, praying for specific needs. It is not wrong to pray in general. God, help me today, just in general. God, be with the church today as they scatter, in general. Nothing wrong with God, be with my family. God, be with this. Just general prayers and asking God to be with various needs and various individuals. But supplication then brings us down to very specific requests. God, be with the church. God, enable them to be filled with your Spirit. Get a hold of their heart that they would draw near to you and seek you. God, fill them up with your power. Enable them to live with divine and power and enablement and an eternal urgency to see what's really going on around them in life and to be engaged in the battle and to be sharing the gospel and to be salt and to be light, praying specifically for specific needs. Pray for this family over here, God, and their children, and God, give them wisdom, give them divine power, come down upon them, God, deliver them, give them victory, praying for specific needs. And listen, the more specific our prayers, the more specific God will answer. You know what specific prayers require is more diligence and more time. It's easy to get down and say, pray for everybody. God, help me today. Out the door you go. It's another thing to get down and just lay it on specifically. Think about individuals, what they're battling, and praying for those specific needs, those specific individuals, asking for specific things. This is how we are to pray. Beloved, we need to understand, and we think we do, but we really don't, because I'm still growing in this. I don't know the half of it. Probably don't know the eighth of it. But I'm learning this more and more. God is there for the taking. He's there for the taking. The God who holds this world in His hands, think about it. He's holding our next breath in His hands. He's holding Israel in His hand. He's holding this nation in His hands. He's holding every bit of our circumstances in our hands. He's holding all of our children and grandchildren in His hand. That God, enthroned in heaven with all power and might and glory, calls us to lay hold of Him, to seek Him, to draw near to Him. And God is there for the taking. I'm telling you, if you will set yourself to take hold of God, God will take hold of you. He will answer that promise. You call on Him and He will reveal great and mighty things that you know nothing of. He will meet you there. I double dog dare you, as we used to say as kids. Set yourself to take hold of God in prayer. Oh, church, what do you need from God? You need power. You need victory over some sin that keeps haunting you and tripping you, and you keep failing and failing. Grab hold of God and call down fire from on high
He'll meet you there. You need a child saved, a grandchild saved, a spouse saved. Tuck yourself away with God and say, oh God, I can't. God, no one can, but you can. Oh God, help me. Oh God, save them. Oh God, open their eyes and call down fire from on high. I'm telling you, this God is there for the taking. He's there for the taking. And so pray all the time. Pray with all varieties of prayer. And all kinds of requests. Secondly, we're to pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Do you see that? It's not talking about praying in tongues. It's not talking about praying in some unintelligible utterance, some esoteric speech, as some would maybe have us to believe. But to pray in the Spirit is to pray being enabled by God. Empowered by God. You know, I'll just... personal experience. A lot of times I have to pray for some time before I ever pray in the Spirit. I enter into prayer in my flesh often. I enter into prayer and my heart's not right, my mind's not right. And I have to spend quite a bit of time in there just getting myself right before I'm finally in a spirit where I can really begin to pray. And to pray in the Spirit is where your mind is in tune with God's mind, and your mind's filled with truth of Scripture, and your will is given over to God's will, and you just begin to pray, and you're praying with divine enablement. The Spirit of God has come down, and he's directing your thoughts. He's directing your mind, and He's directing your heart. And there's brokenness there, and there's weeping over sin. There's pleading and brokenness over the lost, and you're really praying real prayer. To pray in the Spirit is much like walking in the Spirit. We're called in Scripture to walk in the Spirit. You know how often we walk in the Spirit? We get honest? Not much. What's it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, you've got to get there to that place of prayer. You've got to get there in the Word where your mind is saturated with the truth of God. You've got to get given over to God. You've got to get crucified with Christ. You've got to give yourself over to Christ and ask for God to put you to death and fill you with divine power and fill your mind with His truth and to take hold of you. And then you get up from that prayer and then you're walking in the Spirit, in tune with God, being led by God, even enabled and empowered by God. And you know when you're there, to some degree, though it is somewhat of a mystery. How many of you have been witnessing? You've been out there and your heart's right as far as you can tell, and you want to witness to somebody, and you've made a point to go to them, and you go to them and you begin to witness, and it's just like there's a divine wind that takes hold of you, and God begins giving you thoughts in your mind, and you just begin to speak, and when you get done with that conversation, you go away and you know that God showed up. Have you been there? Same thing in prayer. You've just given up to God and God has come down. God has enabled you and God has come down and enabled the prayer. Same thing with teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, to be given that divine enablement from God. That's what it means. And beloved, we're to walk in the Spirit and we're to pray in the Spirit. Everything we do is to be in the Spirit, enabled by God, given over to God. And so we have to come away with God in prayer and tuck ourselves in there and stay until our heart's right and our minds are right and we're surrendered and given up and we're in tune with God and fellowship with God, and then we can really be enabled to pray. And even when we're weak, even sometimes when we come down there and we don't know what to pray, we just acknowledge that, God, I don't even know what to pray. I just know I need You. The Word of God assures us, Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What a promise. So we go there, God, I don't know what to pray. I got this individual in my heart, but I don't even know what to lift up. I just know they need You. And God's Spirit meets us there, and He begins to pray through us. And he begins to pray for us that which cannot even be uttered. Can't put it in words, but the Spirit of God's communicating with God. And he's offering it up. Thirdly, we are to pray, notice, being watchful to this end. Watchful means to be on guard, to be vigilant. Don't have the time to share all this with you. It's not even in my notes, but just go through the scripture and look at how many times Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Even in the garden, could you not watch and pray for how long, church? 1 hour. Could you not even do that? Could you not just take 1 hour to watch and pray? Watch and pray. Be on alert when you pray. Be vigilant when you pray. It also says to this end, literally in the Greek, it is towards the same thing. Being watchful towards the same thing. Watchful in prayer. Keep praying, and as you pray, be watchful. Be watchful in prayer. Be watchful in your supplication. Be on guard spiritually. To pray being watchful just means to be alert to this spiritual battle. To be in communion with God and full of the Scripture, and as you're looking at your life, your circumstances, your church, everything going on, to be seeing it through the lens of Scripture. To be seeing it through the lens of this spiritual reality, that the forces of wickedness are at work, that God is at work, that the church has been called to advance the kingdom of God, and seeing everything in light of the truth and being watchful. It's being watchful of what's going on in this world. It's being watchful when you turn on the news and you see what's going on in Israel, to know that God's at work, to know that this is one more piece of God's grand scheme to bring this world to the coming of Christ, to know that's God's people, and to begin to pray for them and ask God to help them. That's being watchful. It's being vigilant. It's you know, discern your church and the battles going on in your church and your own life, and the enemy coming to work and deceive and disunify, and all the sin and temptation, all these things that are warring, and to be alert to that and set yourselves to pray accordingly. We are in a battle. Every moment of our lives, every single day, from every angle, in every arena of our life, relationships at home, relationships at work, relationships in the church, our very nation, our government, relationships out there in family, battle raging with the forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We cannot be oblivious to what's really going on in the midst of all that. So we seek to live for Christ. We have to be spiritually discerning of what's going on behind all of that. The whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. Our nation's plunging into darkness. Have you noticed? Much of the church is asleep, apathetic to spiritual things, entangled with so many other things. Souls are perishing. Our grandchildren, most of them not yet saved, coming up in this world, this nation, in this day and age. Does that drive you to your knees? Your kids? Your grandkids? Do you have a burning passion? Oh God, save them. Bring them to Christ at a young age, where they can know you and grow in you and serve you all the days of their life. Oh God, help them to stand for you. Do you see the battle for their soul? Does it drive you to prayer? Does it keep you there, knowing there's no hope anywhere else? We must war in prayer. This battle is fought and won in prayer. In prayer, we must pray. As I said, we must grab hold of God, take hold of God. We must call down fire from on high to consume us, to fill us, to embolden us, to save the lost, to take the gospel out, to save souls. We have no other hope but God, and God is all sufficient. We need nothing else. God Almighty. The most powerful weapon we have in this warfare is prayer. It is. And it is to undergird everything in our lives. We can never pray enough. We can never pray too much. You just can't. And if we're going to stand, having done all to stand, and be engaged in this battle with absolute power, we must be given over to prayer. Pray being watchful, on alert, on guard regarding everything going on in your life, in every arena, and be taking it all to God. 1 Peter 4:7 makes clear, but the end of all things is at hand. Reality check. Take that into your heart. When Peter wrote that, the end of all things is at hand, was then when he wrote it. We're this many thousands of years closer. You say, well, it's been 1,000 years. Don't presume upon God. Don't think we've got plenty of time. We live as if we got 1,000 tomorrows. We don't. And even if God is gracious and gives us a long life, time is fleeting and your life is but a vapor. One opportunity to give it all to God. One opportunity to fix your mind upon what's right. You know, there's so much here. Again, a series of messages could be preached. I'm going to try not to keep you all day. But I was thinking about prayer over these last few weeks, just in my own quiet time and praying and being in the Scripture. And, you know, I got to thinking about that old saying you used to hear when you played sports. Your coach would always say, get your head in the game. Get your head in the game. You know what prayer is? It is that discipline that keeps your head in the game. And not just a game. We're talking about a war of all wars. We're talking about eternity and souls hanging in the balance. How do you get your head in the game? How do you make sure that you're not just wasting your days away getting up and living in your flesh? Prayer. What is this armor? How do you put it on? Prayer. You see when you take that time to get away with God and you're praying and you say, God, I need you. I need divine power if I'm going to live for you. I can't do this, God. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the ability. God, I need your power. And you call on Him for that power. And then you remind yourselves of this armor. God, help me to live my life in light of the truth. I don't want anything hanging out there not brought into obedience to your word. Gird me up in the truth, oh God. And you cinch everything down and you confess your sin and you give it all up to God. That's how you put on that belt of truth. You get your head in the game and you offer that up as prayer. Same thing with those feet of the gospel of peace. You put that on. God, I know you've given me peace in Christ. I can't thank you enough that you've saved me, oh God. Help me to walk in that peace and help me to take that peace to a lost and dying world. You pray this armor down. You clothe it with prayer. Do you see that? Do you see it, church? Doesn't happen automatically. You're going to have to take hold of Him and call down fire from on high and put this armor on through prayer and get your head in the game. And then when you get up, you'll walk in the Spirit of God clothed with this armor. Jesus said in Luke 21, 34 through 36, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all those things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Jesus said, if you're going to live for me, you have to watch and pray lest you be taken unaware. Lest you be all caught up in things that don't matter and this day come upon you as a thief. And so we have to pray being on alert. Lastly, fourthly, in how to pray, it goes on to say with all perseverance. With unrelenting resolve. Perseverance just speaks of keeping on, not letting up. Pray and keep on praying. Pray and keep on praying. We looked at it Wednesday night, the parable of the persistent widow, Luke 18. Remember that widow? There was a judge that didn't fear man, didn't fear God, didn't care. This widow had a need. Comes to the judge. Hey, judge, would you meet this need? Don't care. Judge, would you meet this need? Doesn't care. Judge, will you meet this need? Eventually, because of her persistence, lest she weary me, I will avenge her. How much more, Jesus says, your Father in heaven. Do you pray like that? You know what Jesus said following that parable up? But when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What context did he say that in? God, are you there? God, I need you. God, I can't live without you today. God, the church needs you. We need to be empowered. We need revival. God, my spouse needs saved. God, my child needs saved. My grandchild, just unrelenting, persisting, not letting up. Will he really find that kind of faith on the earth when he comes? It's a question from Jesus to us. And so this is how we're to pray. The one last thing that he shares with us is for whom to pray. Verse 18 goes on to say, for all the saints. For all the saints. Not just yourself. Not just this church and your brothers and sisters here. But for all the saints. Those who are his in Israel. Those who are his at Calvary. Those who are his loyalty, whatever church, scattered across this nation, scattered across this globe. There is real need. Real need. Now, nothing wrong with praying for yourself. As I said, you've got to get yourself right with God before you can effectively pray for anyone. Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Don't just blaze into prayer for someone else. Blaze into prayer and get yourself right, and then blaze into prayer for them. But do blaze into prayer for them. Is there a real need here in this church? Alicia and Miguel and Alistair? What if he was your own? Or if that was your son? How would you be praying? That's how we're to pray. There's other children. Some of our children don't know why they're on this earth. They don't have a purpose to live. They don't know that there's hope in Jesus Christ. They don't know God. There's real need. Spouses who are lost, going to plunge into hell unless somehow God intervenes. And you know what that does? It creates genuine love of Christ for one another. We pray that way. The greatest thing that we could do when we come in here on a Sunday morning and we hit this altar is take hold of God in prayer together. I mean, pray and call down power from on high together. I mean, just bewail your needs up to God. Whatever's on your heart, just lift that up. You know what it'll do when somebody's over here broken over a need? The church will begin to get broken for that individual in that need. And they'll begin praying for it all the more. And then this person does. And what does all that avail? It avails the power of God. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, God says, availeth much. It availeth much. But you know what we do? We come in here and we're like, boy, I hope this doesn't take too long. You know, we've been praying at the altar, but I hope we don't pray too long today. That's right from the pit of hell. I'm telling you, church, I know that's not easy to hear, but it is. Get your head in the game. Is there great need? Is our God a great and almighty God? Can he save the soul? Any soul. Can he bring down fire and stand a church on their feet, an exceedingly great army? Can he? Can he, church? Do we really believe it? That's what Jesus was asking. When I come, will I even find faith on the earth? Will I find a church that believes that and sets themselves to taking hold of God in power and just praying until God shows up? Will I find that kind of faith on the earth? Will he find it in me? Will he find it in you? Oh, church, if there is ever a time to pray like this, it's now. I don't know that I've ever seen in my life a church that truly has prayed like this. like the Word of God calls us to, where you just cast everything aside. It doesn't matter how long we're here, and soul after soul, believer after believer, just pouring on prayer, pouring their heart out to God, desperate for God to come down. Hope in nothing else, no one else. We have availed ourselves of all that. We want nothing more to do with all that. We want God and God alone, and then staying there in prayer until we avail ourselves of God Himself. This is what we need. And I'll just tell you, we need to pray for it. So we head towards these revival meetings. That's what this is all about. We start heading that way. Why are we gathering with these other churches? What's the point? Why should we clear our whole schedules and just give ourselves to that week gathering? Why? Because we need God. Because this is what matters more than anything else. It does. It does. Let's stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. So much more could be said and shared. I pray God has spoken to your heart. I pray He's convicted you. I pray He's revealed truth to you. I pray the Word has gotten past your mind, down into your heart and soul, and taken root. Father, we bow before you. We're in desperate need of you. Teach us from your Word. Oh God, to hear these things and not do them only brings greater judgment. Much has been given to us to have the freedom to open your Word and hear its truth. Help us to take heed. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray alone with you. Teach us how to pray together, God, as a church. Teach us how to seek you, Lord. Teach us that you're our only hope. And if we really believe that, God, we know it will drive us to fervent prayer, not just for a moment in time, but as we've just been commanded to pray without ceasing, all the time, throughout all the day. Help us to live this truth. Father, save any here who need to be saved. You know, oh God. Bring them to the knowledge of saving faith in Jesus. Help them to turn to Him in true repentance and faith. Help us to respond to you, Lord. We don't pray as we ought. Help us to confess that, repent of that, flee from that. Help us to call on you for divine power to live this. Work in us as your church, oh God. Your will be done is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.